We are talking about family for a number of weeks. And I want to acknowledge my limitation to communicate this concept of family right off the bat. You know when you have kids, like for those of you that have had kids, and you try to explain to somebody what it's like to have kids who doesn't have kids, and it's hopeless, okay? Hopeless. Like, you can get some ideas across and whatnot, but man, they just have, like, how is it that, you know, they can throw up on you and you still smile and love them? And like, you're like, it was a wonderful experience. You know, people just don't get that, all right? I acknowledge that even when I communicate today, I'm going to be talking about what it means to be in family with the Father, okay? In family with the Father. And I won't be able to really communicate that well. I'm praying that the Spirit will open up your eyes to see what is specific to your heart, what He wants to say today, okay? Because ultimately, that's the best I can do with my job right here, is try to teach or encourage or equip in some fashion for you to hear His voice better and to see the realities of the kingdom, okay? That's the best I got. You have to walk this together. The thing about family is that you can't just read in a book and all of a sudden you know everything about being a son, okay? You might get some ideas, you might get some truths, you might understand some things, but the fact is that a family is something you are raised up in, okay? You are raised up in. This takes a life, okay? This takes a life. So that being said, I'm gonna start with one of the greatest verses I can think of. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 12, and it says to this, "But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." To all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. All right, so to believe him and accept him. Let me just explain a couple of those things because it's going to be a premise for this message. To believe him is to acknowledge that what he said is the truth. Or what you heard about him is the truth, okay? You can believe him, but there's another part where it says, and accept him, okay? And there's a reason that there's two different pieces. You can believe that God exists and still not accept him as your God. You can believe that Jesus is Lord and still not call him your Lord, okay? Let me give you an example. In James chapter 2, it talks about how, says, you believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Okay? The demons know the truth about the almightiness of God. All right? They know the truth about it. They shudder at the thought of it. But do they call him master? No. They're subject to him because he has all authority. He is my God. Okay? But there's a difference between knowing he is God and saying he's my God. He is my Savior. He came to my house for me. Okay, there's a difference. There's a difference. So to those who have believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Look at that. All of what your faith has accomplished is like summed up in this statement. You know, you're saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourselves so that you can't boast, right? All that your faith has accomplished is that it sets you as one in family with the Father. As one with family and the Father. All of it boiling down that you'd be a part of a family with God himself. Can you imagine that? You can't. You really can't. Colossians 1, verse 21 through 22. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he's brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Without a single fault. You know what that means? Like, just real simply in a family context, it's that precious, loving child. You can forgive anything they say. You can forgive anything they do because your love is intact. That's what gets restored by the work of the cross. That's what gets restored by the work of the cross. Think about that. You are without a single fault. Do you feel that? Do you hear that? Do you know that? To those that have believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You really can't imagine. You and I cannot imagine. One of my favorite verses, I write this in every Bible that I've given to somebody, is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You cannot imagine. You cannot imagine. I cannot imagine. I get to reach at it, you know. But here's the thing. You get to be raised up in this family. He gave the right to become children of God, to get raised up in a family that you can't have words for. John chapter 1, verse 12. I've read this verse, and I'm going to continue into 13, but I'm going to put it all on the screen together for illustration's sake. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Okay? Who's heard the term born again? Right? You've been born again into a new family. Okay? Born again into a new family. John 3, 5 through 6, Jesus, backed this up. He said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Okay, you know what it means to be born again? Like, you can't grasp stepping into this family with the same eyes that you had in living on this earth your whole life. Okay, all of us have grown up and watching how the world works, right? And whether we were taught to do things a certain way, just by observation, look at what we picked up of how you treat people. What are the priorities of life? You know, what is, like, some of the other questions, what does security look like? What does it look like to be loved? All these questions, you know, we learn so much of this through our eyes just by watching people, by seeing things, by longing for things. Okay? But the fact is that in a heavenly family and what he has brought us into, you can't use those same eyes to see that reality. There's going to be conflict. Okay? So you have to be born again. You know what that means? You got to start over in your heart. Okay? With no attachment to this old life of how you learn things, but just start over to hear from him. Okay? To look to him for the next answer. To look to him when you have the question, to look to him when you're hurt, to look to him when you're happy. Starting fresh. He's like, you start fresh, he can tell you anything. You start fresh, you can tell you anything. If you still hold on to many things, can he tell you everything or anything? No, because there will be conflict. I'm going to give a couple illustrations to try to bring this up. Colossians 3:3 says, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Did you hear that? Your real life. You are children of God. It says at 1 John 3, 1-3, see how much, very much our Father loves us, for he called us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. Okay, to step into this life as a child of God, to be one in family with God, you have to let that old life die. You have to let that old life die and be born again into a new family. Why? Because to be raised up into a new family that's something you can't imagine, you have to start fresh. Okay, let me try to give a couple of examples of this, because this can seem really challenging because we're still here on this earth, right? We still see the same things. We're still working through the same things, okay? There's, who's heard of the Emancipation Proclamation, okay? The Emancipation Proclamation, it happened in the time of Lincoln. Lincoln put it together, and it was a document to abolish slavery in the United States. Now, here's an interesting thing about that. The second that Lincoln signed that, legally, all of the slaves were free. The second he signed it, legally, all of the slaves were free. But here's the thing, they didn't feel free yet, because you know what you have to do in order to feel free? They had to leave their masters in order to experience that freedom. They had to leave their masters, right? Legally, they were there. To those who have believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You are children of God. It says, in fact, you are. But here's the thing. There's plenty of places where we have not left our masters. Where we have not left our masters. And you know, when those things take over us, when we give that much of ourselves to those things, we can't see that new life. Only the Holy Spirit can show us that new life. Only the Holy Spirit can show us what it's like to be a child again. Man, when you get to be a parent, you see again what it's like to be a child. In a way, you couldn't see it as a child yourself. Right? It's very interesting. And you see, gosh, you know, that was like, as a child, I never thought of that. But now as a parent, I'm like, wow, this looks so different. You are fantastic even when you yell at me. You're exciting even when you don't do what I say. Look how much I try to control you. Interesting dynamics. He gave the right to become children of God, and that is what we are. You know, let me give you an example from my own life, you know, where you don't leave your old masters. Or I would actually say for a lot of us as believers, maybe we were set free from something, but we went and we picked it back up. Why? Maybe that master at one time was comforting to us, even though we were a slave, right? We have no concept of the freedom that the cross gave us. Hopefully we grow and grow and grow in that. You know, I'll give you an example of my own. So, one that I have picked up again recently, bitterness. And that's one that, here's what happens. Like when I get bitter about something, it was a response out of hurt. All right. And I picked up bitterness. And the thing is that in bitterness, it manifests in so many different fashions, right? So it shows up as manipulation or, it's hard to see win-win. It's hard to see win-win. You cannot be happy about certain things. All these things that show up, right? But you know what? You know what really, really hurts about that? Besides the effect that it has on other people, from that lens of bitterness, that's another master. I cannot see what God wants to show me about being a son if that's what I'm seeing. I can't. It's not that I don't want to, but in that area in particular, I can't, okay? Lay it down. And you know what's interesting too is that some things you lay down and some things the Lord, he gives you this miraculous deliverance. And like right away, you know you're healed and all that stuff. And then some things, he wants you to practice it. He wants you to practice it. Why? So that your heart gets it. Because this is how children of God walk. When you start walking, you start waking. Okay? You're being raised up in a family. Okay, that's one piece where it shows up for me. You just can't see it. It's not that he doesn't want to show you. Okay? Ask the Spirit of God, show me. Give me something. Give me an appetite for something greater than what I picked back up. So I can see different, you know? You can have the discipline to try to fight through it. Man, guys, I don't know about you, but the word says that without vision, the people perish. They cast off restraint. So unless you can see something that you want more, it's hard to overcome something. Do you think that Jesus, who came and died on the cross for your sins, you know, the Father goes, he spends so much, he gives the greatest thing that it could ever cost him to free you. Do you think that by asking for a little more help to get over something, he's going to tell you no, like I already gave you enough? again, the nature of children. Of course I'm going to help him if he asks me for something. It'll seem like nothing at that point to me. And I bet you it'll seem like nothing to him. You know the nature of repentance? Here, repentance boiled down is really like this statement of saying, I'm sorry, God. I called something else master. You are Lord. I went back to that master. I want to take your word for it. I'll let it go. I just want to see what it's like to be a son or a daughter. Give me that. Just even if you give me a glimpse, it'd probably change everything about my life. Why? Because that's what the truth does. It sets you free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Let me give you another example of what this looks like. You know, let's say there's a man and he owes $5 million in debt to a certain creditor. Okay, $5 million. No small chunk of change. He's single. He doesn't have any family. He's just like, maybe he's a middle-aged gentleman, but he owes his creditor $5 million and he dies. Creditor's not real happy about that, right? Now, let me ask you this. Can the creditor go and expect to collect from the dead man? No, that's ridiculous, right? What's he going to do? Come out of his grave to write a check that he doesn't for money he doesn't have? So here's the thing. The debt at that point ceases to be. To be born again is to die from your old life, okay? As that old life dies and you are born again, you are a new creation in Christ, a new creation in Christ. So here's the thing, that old life cannot come back to you and say, you owe me, because that man or woman doesn't exist anymore. They don't exist anymore, okay? To those who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You are a whole new person. That old master is not a master anymore. It's not a master anymore. Unless you call him that. Unless you call him that. But here's the thing, you were set free from that. And you know what? The only reason we would do that is if we are looking for some kind of comfort or some kind of thing that we just haven't found in God yet. Why do we sin? Because we don't see that there's a better way to do it with him. That he's offered so much more. Again, no mind has imagined, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has in store for those who love him. We can't imagine. But then when you get this little glimpse, when the Holy Spirit shows you this little bit, then now you have an appetite for it. And maybe one place where you listened before. Some things are easy, right? The Lord shows you something and you're like, yes, I want to follow you in that. And some things he shows you and you're like, I know it's right and I'm not there yet to follow you in that. And then he works on your heart because he's a good father. You know, this isn't just even about your identity. This is about, look at the things you would cherish or hope for with a father. He's the good shepherd, right? We have all that we need. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. Think about the things that you wish you could have done with your father, or the things you cherish about the time you had with your father, the things you went and did, the things in your heart that you're still like, man, I was just privileged as a human being to get to experience that with somebody. And that is what it means to be in the family of God. Do you think that the Father has thought about those things with you? To look into it, to lean to him and just say, Lord, even beyond the fact of just knowing that I'm a son of God, can I be with you like that? I long to do something like that with you. You think he hasn't thought about that? Man, he's thought about it. He's orchestrated it. That's why, to those who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. He wanted, that's what he wanted. That is all the work of your faith, to be welcomed into a family that you can't imagine. Where we get, like I said, where we get in trouble, we go and we pick back up the things. Like, we don't owe a debt anymore. But, you know, or this is another one, I'll use myself as an example. I think in my own righteousness, I need to go back and pay those debts of those things I owe to people or to whatever. Because somehow, what he did not cover it, is what I think. It's not true. I just don't see it. I don't see it. Because to be born again, you start over in your heart. You hear the Father's voice. You let the Spirit of God guide you into all truth. Galatians 4:9. This is the scripture that speaks to that. So now that you know God, or should I say, now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You know why your freedom was purchased? So that you could become family with him. That's why your freedom was purchased, so you could become family with him. And he wants to show you what that looks like. He wants to show me what that looks like. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 14. Okay, this is what follows after the verse I shared earlier where it said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it says this, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. Okay, before I continue in that, so we may understand what God has freely given us. He wants to show you. He's like, there's nothing that's going to be a greater existence than for you to know that you've been brought into this family. That all of the work of the cross succeeded to bring a son or a daughter to their father. So satisfying. So satisfying to him and to me and to you. Look at what he's done. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Again, to be born again of the Spirit, as we read earlier, is to be like, you know what, Lord? Teach me, show me. And he does. By his Holy Spirit, he comes and he shares with you. And you know that first time that you heard about the Lord, and it just like, either you heard something that he said through somebody reading the Bible, or you heard about who Jesus is or whatnot, and it resonated in your heart that first time. That it resonated in your heart, like, I think that's the truth. I think that's the truth. Okay, that's the physical proof that God has shown up to your house for you. That is the physical proof, okay? Because here's why. You couldn't see that unless he opened your eyes to that. So the word says that no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. Unless the Father draws him. He showed up to your house. Think about it. It resonated because he wants to show you. He wants you to see it. He wants me to see it. Man, that's grace. You can't see it from the eyes of what you grew up in. Some of us got a better start than others. Like, I didn't grow up in a Christian house, or at least a practicing Christian house. Okay, I didn't get a lot of those foundations that I saw some other people get. But here's the thing. Man, the Lord shows up, it doesn't matter. I don't want to say it doesn't matter that you don't teach your kids. Okay, don't hear that. I was like, ooh, that could go another way. I better stop. But here's the thing, like, if he wants you as a son, he'll make you a son. And did he? The proof's right here. You are children of God. Like, legal standing, it's official. You are children of God. And as we leave our masters, we experience it. As we look, the Holy Spirit's going to, he's going to keep teaching us. He's going to keep showing us. Man, this is why, again, the limitation of trying to communicate to you what it's like to be a son or a daughter of the Most High. I can't show you. The Holy Spirit has to show you. Maybe in this time of the fast is to take the time and be like, Lord, what do you want to teach me about being family with you? About being a brother or sister of Jesus? Adopted into a family under the Father. What do you want to teach me? Romans 8, 15 through 17 says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. In other words, he didn't just want to tell you once. He wants to tell you again and tell you again. How many times have I said you are, in fact, God's children today? I'm just following what he does. You are God's children. You are God's children. To those who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. You are. You are. You are. Hear that. Even when it doesn't feel like it, maybe you just need to say goodbye to an old master. Okay? Your old master he's got nothing to hold you with. Remember, your debt died on the cross. You know that word that, and since we are his children, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. You know, suffering, that four-letter word. Suffering is, I looked into this because I'm always like skeptical. I'm like, maybe it's trying to say this, or maybe it's trying to say that. So I do my research, right? And you look at the word suffering here. When I looked at that, it actually said, the original word for that said, like, to experience pain or whatnot, but to experience it together with someone. To experience it together with someone. Now, that should have been obvious by the fact that it said share twice in the verse before it, right? So, but to share in his glory and to share in his suffering. You know what? That's in the context of what this is, that's the picture of family. I got a call, I got a text message from a gentleman this week, just a couple days ago, and he was asking for prayer for one of our mutual friends. And this mutual friend has COVID, he's been on a ventilator, and it was looking horrible. Like, and just to put it in perspective, the guy that asked me for prayer never asks me for prayer, okay? It's not, as I understand, I mean, not a practicing believer that I'm aware of. I'm not God, I don't get to say yes or no, right? Or is it, but it threw me off, okay? It must have been really serious for him to do that. And so I'm sitting here and I'm like, and I'm thinking about that family. Okay, that man is part of a family of four. As he is on a ventilator, is he the only one that's suffering? No. His wife, his daughter, his son, they're all feeling it. Why? Because that's what happens in family. Okay, that's what happens in family. In the most recent update I got, his fever broke. He's still got horrible oxygen levels and stuff, but his fever broke. And you know what? I'm just saying in faith, as the Lord heals him, is it just going to be him that's celebrating? No. His wife, his son, his daughter, look at the friends that are celebrating too. Okay? But in family, you feel it together. Paul gave the same example when he said, we're all one body. Okay? If one part suffers, we all suffer. If one part thrives, we all thrive. That's the picture of family. Now, here's the thing. When we come into family with our own agenda and our own will, This is why that can't work. That's why, this is why that old life of like defending ourselves prior to the salvation that was offered on the cross, like we were orphans. All we knew was to look after ourselves. That's all we knew, was to look after ourselves. You bring that into a family and you get dysfunction. Okay? You bring that into a family and you get dysfunction. If everyone has a different agenda, that's why the Father sets the agenda in this house. Okay? Because as the Father sets the agenda, and as we say, you know what? I'm starting completely over. I'm a free man. I'm a free woman. As a son, I can do that. As a daughter, I can do that. I'm free to do that. I got nothing that says I can't anymore. He gave the right to become children of God. We'll celebrate together. We'll hurt together. That's what that statement was saying. Because when you're born into a family, that's what it looks like. You know, I had this... It's crazy for me to consider, like, as an adopted brother or sister of Jesus. That's a hard one for me to grasp, personally, to understand what it means to be an adopted brother or sister of Jesus. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, and they want to speak to you." Jesus asked, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Then he pointed to his disciples and said, "Look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Does the will of my Father in heaven. The will of the Father is a family. Is that sons and daughters would be reunited with the Father. That's what the work of the cross did. It made you spotless. Again, without a single defect, so that you could be totally free to be a son and a daughter of the Most High. Totally free. When he looks now, it's the blood of Jesus that wiped you clean. Nothing you did, saved by grace through faith. You are one with him in family, like wiped clean. It's Jesus' blood he sees. Clean, clean, clean. Do you hear this? Do you hear this? Hebrews 2, 11 through 12. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I'll praise you among the assembled people." You know, when Jesus in his ministry, if you look at it, people would say, like, "Good teacher." And he's like, "No one's good but God alone." And he's like, "Look who cares for you. The Father cares for you. Look who takes care of your need. The Father." He's always pointing to the Father, the Father, the Father, the Father. He's even saying, "Don't look at me. Look to the Father." It says that he came to restore the sons and daughters to the Father. He came to restore the sons and the daughters to the Father, that you would become children of God. For that is what you are. For that is what you are. Hear that and be free in it. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up, please. You know, one of the greatest pictures of family that I like to embrace is, let's do Revelation 3:20, okay? "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends." I will come in. He came to your house and he knocks. For those that would open the door, who would believe him and accept him, he would give the right to become children of God. How do you know? Because now you're sitting for a meal with your Father. And you know what? You didn't go looking for him. He came looking for you. He came to you. We did not choose him. He chose us to become children of God, sons and daughters. of the Most High. Guys, I have no other encouragement to say that, like, man, you know, sometimes you hear something like that, to hear, like, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God. And to some, that really shakes you up, because you, like, there's been a revelation that's happened where you're like, wow, like, that is the most substantial statement. And then in other places, you're like, man, sinner, daughter of God, like, I don't, like, in your heart, you don't feel a lot. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you eyes to see. To see, first of all, His love. He showed up to your house. He is here. He is with you. He came for you. To those who believed and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. First, look at that. Second, ask Him to show you where your old masters are. And if you still are, and if you still have brought them along. You didn't have to bring them along. If they're there, it's because you brought them back up. That's a hard truth for me. But it's true. Okay? He set me free, freer than I know. And He's going to keep showing me. And He's going to keep showing you. I often wonder if my children know how much I love them. I can think of so many times I've been in my garage just praying. I'm like, man, Lord, does He know how much I love Him? Does my daughter know how much I love her? Does she really, like, does she know it? Oh, the Father is so that way. Except He knows how much you know. It kind of comes with being God. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Again, without the Holy Spirit, you can't see it. Okay? And when we're leaning into the old masters, when we're leaning into things that we think we owe, when He set us free from it, gosh, we just can't see it. Father, I'm believing that this word is meant to speak to very particular things in people's lives. And perhaps not to everyone here. But man, I think it's so intentional. It's meant to sit in their gut. And to acknowledge the truth, to see a truth, and not just to believe it, but to accept it. That Jesus, you are God, and you are our God. You are my God. You are Lord, and you are my Lord. Will you sit that in the people's hearts today? You are the Father, and you are their Father. You are my Father. Man, let us sit and be so happy in that. And so grateful that you gave us the right to become children of God. And Holy Spirit, I agree with the verse that I read earlier that says, that you will lead us into the truth of understanding what it means that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him in this life and the life to come. I am in total agreement with that you would share and make that real to every person in this room. And you do something today that's proof of that. Let that actually be the resignation or the resonation of the fact that you are at their door and you're knocking. Is that something today shows up where they're like, yes, I got something new. I saw what I didn't see before. That has to do with being a son or a daughter. Let them hear that and know, oh, look, He came again. I pray this and I agree with your word in it. In Jesus' name, amen.